Our next public hearing is ordinance amendment chapter 99 and chapter 115 relating to forested and/or landscape buffers, site plans, and bonding requirements, and to require a forested and/or landscaped buffer for conditional uses in residential planned communities of single-family or multifamily dwellings. Okay, Mr. Lang, do you want
yes.
to enlighten us?
Do you all have copies of the ordinance?
I need one. Okay.
I could use one.
Two.
Thank you, sir.
The buffer requirements contained in section 99-5 and 99-16 of the existing subdivision ordinance have previously been interpreted to apply only when certain types of agricultural uses set forth in section 115-20B1 in parentheses exist, and or only when a subdivider proposed residential lots immediately adjacent to those agricultural uses. This amendment clarifies that except in defined limited circumstances, the buffer is required everywhere that the subdivision is adjacent to lands of other ownership, whether or not those lands are used for agricultural purposes. It also specifies that the forested buffer areas cannot contain any stormwater management facilities, wastewater treatment and/or disposal areas, water treatment facilities, streets, buildings, or other surface improvements. This amendment requires that final site plans to contain an approval signature of the Sussex Conservation District to confirm that agency's review and approval of the location, dimensions, and type of stormwater management and erosion and sediment control facilities proposed to be constructed. It also requires the establishment of the buffer to be included among the items of work covered by the performance bond. And finally, it allows council to impose the forested and or landscape buffer requirement on approvals for developments consisting of conditional uses and or RPCs for single and multifamily dwellings in all districts where they are permitted with council approval. There's a multiple listing. There's the standard whereas and wherefores determined that in order to best serve the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of the county, it is necessary to revise the code of Sussex County in respect to the provision of a forested buffer on lands that are to be subdivided for residential use. It is the intention of the council to clarify that with the exceptions noted herein, forested and or landscape buffers shall now be required along every boundary of any subdivision. Whereas the ordinance shall clarify that a forested and or landscape buffer shall be required not only between the boundary with lands of other ownership, but also between such boundaries and stormwater management areas, open spaces, wastewater treatment and disposal facilities, water treatment facilities, recreational amenities, building streets, and other surface improvements. Whereas such clarification requires the amendment of 99-5, 99-6, and 99-16D of the subdivision code. Whereas the county also desires to amend section 99-26 to require final site plans to confirm the location of all stormwater management areas. And whereas the county also desires to amend section 99-23 to allow the requirement for forested and or landscape buffers to be added to the improvements for which a performance bond is required. Whereas council also desires to amend section 115-18 of the zoning ordinance to allow council to apply the requirements for landscaped and or forested buffers to be applied as conditions applicable to the conditional use or a change of zone for residential planned community for attached or detached single family or multifamily dwellings. The code provides for definitions of a forested and or landscape buffer strip. And it's pretty specific. It references the definition and it includes 9 or 10 conditions with that definition. We reference general requirements and restrictions. We reference the suitability of land and preservation of natural features. We reference, and that was on 99-16. On 99-26, we reference information to be shown. to include space for signature of an authorized representative of the Sussex Conservation District. And then in 9932, bonds and guarantees, it references that forested and or landscape buffers be included. And then in section 115.18 of the zoning code, forested and or landscape buffer requirements are now would be proposed to be included. That's the basis of the ordinance. I did receive a letter today to Jester, Mr. Wheatley, and all members of the commission. It's from Abel Granke, proposed ordinance to require and protect forested buffers. She asks that her testimony be part of the record and states proposed action to protect and require forested buffers is essential and acted on as soon as possible. And please consider the following comments. One, there does not seem as written provisions for existing forested buffers as in the case of that abutting the marsh farm, and thus the very reason for the proposed ordinance. Mature trees already in place should not be destroyed. Two, what is the definition of a landscape? The proposed ordinance indicates trees of a certain size with provision for temporary ground cover. Why not have the title refer only to a forested buffer? Three, forested buffers should protect all neighboring properties, including agriculture, and makes reference to 99-16. And four, 99-5F, allowing a period of 18 months to provide a forested buffer is too long. It would seem that as soon as possible would help stabilize the area. 99-5 G and H, inclusion of requiring maintenance by both the developer and or subsequent home association is essential and must be retained. And 6, 99-26A, 18, in parenthesis, there should be verification that the state forester has reviewed. In addition, since there is the requirement that a landscape architect must design the site plan, that verification should also be included. And notes, please correct as necessary and get the forested buffer on the books and enforced. And as stated, that was just received today. Thank you. That's all I have.
All right, sir. Thank you, and we thank Mrs. Granke. Gentlemen, any comment?
So is a buffer required along the public roads, or it's not? That same. It's all boundaries.
All boundaries.
Okay, so it is.
It's a boundary.
Mr. Gordy, I would assume that's where they mean the landscape buffers being more along the roadway rather than the forested buffer being along the roadway. Is that correct, Mr. Lang?
Yeah, I would
probably.
That's the intent.
It could be either. If you have a wooded site, you retain that portion, and if it's not, you would plant that portion, and it would be based on a design prepared by a landscape architect, approved by the state forester, and then the commission.
I kind of like it.
There's a reference in, I guess it would be 99.
I think I'm going to leave it like it is.
J that says that like the landscape plan shall avoid placing planted trees or allowing existing trees to remain in areas adjacent to entrances to restrict view of motorists. So they want to preserve sight lines.
Gentlemen, I think it's something we've needed for a long time. I don't know that I have any objections to anything that I see there. But I'll ask the rest of you, anything, any recommended changes or anything that you...
Well, the staff, just for information for the commission, benefit of the commission, the staff, several of us reviewed and worked on this in preparing it. And we went out and talked to a couple landscape architects, and not architects, but also installers. And some questions were raised, and we made some changes based on what we heard from them, because we were making reference to a certain height of a tree, but it didn't jive with the trunk base, the trunk of the tree, and they suggested that we use sizes. And like it says, there's a caliper of 1.5 inches for a deciduous tree, being a maple or oak or something of that nature, and a minimum height of 6 feet above ground when planted. And because originally we said 10 feet, but in 5 years, and how would we know if it's going to grow 10 feet in 5 years? unless a label hanging on a tree told us, we wouldn't know. So this way it gave us some criteria, and that would seem to make everybody would understand. It's more of a layman language type statement.
Right.
For use. On the evergreen trees, it was that to be planted at a minimum height of 5 feet when they're planted. And again, capable of being 10 feet based on what we got from the installers within 5 years of being planted. So, or sooner, but they
right.
should sure. be 10 feet tall in 5 years. And that, I mean, that really helped. And then we talked about the spacing. A couple of places we had, the installer said that might be a little tight is what we had, and they showed us some corrections, and every 100 foot of length should include a minimum total of 20 trees, rather than say boom, 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 you know, stagger them 10 feet, mm-hmm. three rows. And it was actually kind of interesting work on. I think it's pretty well detailed than most of our ordinances, actually.
Well, I think the ordinance as proposed certainly reflects the thought that went into it. It's one of the best written ordinances at this stage of the game that I've seen since I've been on the commission. So that's how I feel about it, gentlemen, and I wouldn't have a problem acting on it this evening, but let's find out what the public thinks. This is a public hearing. We may have a different idea than what we have. So unless anyone has any other questions, we'll...
I do.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'm assuming this is dealing with only residential conditional uses. It wouldn't perhaps apply to projects like the King Farm or the RWR9 that we considered earlier tonight that are business centers that perhaps, you know, from a site... Is that something that we could still, as a commission, impose under conditions?
I think it's any subdivision.
Yeah, and I think, though, under site plan review provisions for commercial site plans, you have the ability to look at those type of things when you talk about
site plan. Yeah, that's true.
With commercial, but I'm just clarification more on the conditional use for, like, the, mm-hmm. you know, we had in Mr. Smith's district, we had the medical offices that were under a conditional use that were approved. Is that a type of project that would fall under the auspices of this ordinance? And
it when approving a conditional use for attached or detached single family or multifamily dwellings or changes in et cetera, then this would apply.
I think it's
but you can still make it a condition.
It's intended for residential.
For the residential, like the 1758 and 1759 we discussed tonight.
Right. I would be hesitant to make it universally applicable to everything, because I think you're going to have situations on the commercial side where it doesn't make any sense to do all that.
Right.
But that's why we can take it case by case.
It's a condition of choice.
That's right.
By the commission or a recommendation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And still imposed.
But, mm-hmm. you know, again, for clarification, I'm a little slow tonight. But.
Well, I know there wasn't a booklet on this, and I apologize for that, and I will.
I mean, like this.
I will try to do. I'll try to do a better job next time of having one lined up for you.
But this, for example, Mr. Chairman, and all jesting aside, with the Villas at the Cape that we discussed earlier tonight, that was a conditional use deal with multifamily housing.
So it applies there.
So they would have to have a 30-foot buffer.
Right. Yes.
They would have to create one. Okay.
Absolutely. They'd have to design it so that they had one, which means they might have one or two less lots.
Might. Right.
So.
And then I like these displays. So then this one, which is the business project,
it
isn't required, but we might put that in as a condition.
As a condition. You got the option, sure.
Okay. I clarify that. Now.
Okay. Thanks. Mr. Burton, did you have a question or did... Mr. Johnson's graphic illustration there answer your question?
Picture does tell 1,000 words. In the one we just looked at, with the front yard of that would set back 30 additional feet. And this one that we just...
The Summerhill?
Summerhill.
Right.
So that front yard... No, that, it didn't have one. That
we didn't have a book for Summerhill. Yeah, right.
That front yard would then be landscaped from the road 30 feet back. So it'd be Del Dot, multimodal,
Well, from the property line, sir, it'd be even further back, because it's from the property line, not from the road, not from the right.
And it would not contain any stormwater management facility.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say that, and this solves your, yeah.
That should have been done long ago.
Yeah, that solves your problem in storm basins.
One of the ones we fought with the most was probably the stormwater management plan. It's still close to your road.
Yeah.
But that's that one right there.
That's right.
It's a 30-foot buffer, but rather than being right out to the rear.
Yeah.
Counsel.
Plus, they got a dedicated additional right-of-way to start with.
So you didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Can the Del-Dot multimodal path be located in that?
Well, isn't that always on Del-Dot?
It's always on there.
Del-Dot's right-of-way.
Not always.
Not always.
Not always. Sometimes they ask for a 15-foot easement. Right. Outside the right-of-way?
I would say no under that.
But it doesn't say that.
I don't think so.
Cannot contain any stormwater management facilities, wastewater treatment, and or disposal areas, water treatment facilities, streets, buildings, or other, well, set surface improvements.
Cannot.
Cannot.
Right.
So the multimodal path is out.
Unless it's on, unless it's within the state right-of-way.
Yeah, they, yeah, the, or unless the special provision's made for it, and you have what, in effect, is a 40-foot, section with the, you got, have to have 30 feet that's undisturbed.
Right. It's landscaped.
Yeah, it's landscaped and unencumbered by the other things.
So it would set back.
Yeah.
Great.
Good.
Out of the buffer.
Okay.
The surface improved.
Right.
If it's, well, your multimodal path has to be impervious, so it couldn't be a mulch. It could be a mulch field in there again.
Yeah, I would say that the commission so far has already, on a couple, said no on that. So
yeah.
Just anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Good. Sir.
To ease Ms. Dean's mind, a project like hers would not require the 30-foot setbacks.
This is correct.
But it could if you had, you chose to.
If you placed a condition on it, you could, because we have that ability already. But that's nothing new. We have that. We could do, could have, we can do that tonight, so if we want to. But anything else, gentlemen? I want to discuss.
I like it.
Let's see if there's anyone here with an interest. Is there anyone here that would like to that has an interest in the ordinance amendment chapter 99 and chapter 115 relating to forested and or landscape buffer site plans and bonding requirements, and to require a forested and or landscape buffer for conditional uses and residential planned communities of single family or multifamily dwellings? I read all that, and nobody's going to come up here and talk. Okay, then.
One of the difficulties we've had with some of our ordinances has been that we don't get any comments at the commission.
And then
I know.
Anybody on the commission have any questions, comments? If not, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. And that completes our agenda. So.